Constance McMillan lives in a wicked little town. After being told by school officials that she couldn't go gay to her prom, Constance sued and won the right to simply wear a tux and bring her girlfriend to the dance. In a plot stolen right out of a John Hughes film, the school retaliated by staging a fake prom to lure Constance, her date, and 7 special needs students, while the rest of the class held a secret prom at a remote location. Even worse, Molly Ringwald wasn't there to save the day, and Lung Doc Dong was long gone.
On today's show, blogger and activist Phil Reese joins us to take a look at the bigots' prom and on the hot news stories. Phil joins the Feast of Fun as politics and activism contributor, so be sure to say hi on the site and give him a warm welcome.
Republican Party Chairman Michael Steele isn't budging from his job despite his involvement in the erotic Republican bondage party at a West Hollywood nightclub for high rollers.
Taiwan's amazing young man who flawlessly sings like Whitney Houston.
A new social network to rag on your coworkers, and another one to celebrate the most fabulous gay men.
Tennis legend and lesbian icon Martina Navratilova is diagnosed with breast cancer.
And congratulations to the small town of Dillon, Colorado. They just elected their first gay mayor, Ron Holland. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Will you vote for me? I'm fabulous.
I'll vote for you. Will you vote for me?
Yes. Okay. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic, fabulous listeners like you.
And by 888 Megamates. Meeting a hot guy isn't rocket science, but some days it sure feels like it. If you're tired of spending so much time on dating websites and coming up empty-handed, call 1-888-MEGAMATES. It's the fun, fast, easy way to meet local guys.
Your voice is the best first impression. It shows your personality and tells a potential date more about you than anything. Call 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Chat live with someone who's ready to connect. Guys are just a phone call away, and most of their features are free.
When you call, type in ad code FOF, you'll get half off a 1-week unlimited message retrieval package. Call now, 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Hello?
Hi, is this Phil Reese?
It sure is.
Congratulations, you're on the Feast of Fun. Although you already knew that.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. So, Phil, you are a writer. You're an activist. Tell us about your journey into blogging. You are just starting this week on the Feast of Fun. You are our official political correspondent.
Yeah, it's
you got to be more excited about that, though.
Woo! Yeah.
Touch yourself.
It is really exciting. I am excited. It's great. I've always been really politically active. I grew up in a really political household. And throughout high school, I was active in progressive causes and such. I actually came out in high school in the 90s in Detroit, but I didn't come out to my family. But I wasn't involved in high school in LGBT issues. And then I went away to college, and that became, you know, really my focus. So I went away, and I had a career for a few years, and now I'm back in grad school, and I really wanted to get involved again. And so the way I saw that I could contribute to the movement was to blog. So I started blogging at a lot of different places, and that's kind of what I do now.
And we're so lucky to have you. Welcome to the Feast of Fun.
Thanks.
Welcome to the fold. So if everybody likes Phil, go make sure you comment on his entries. And your first contribution about the meanest town in America... That is the town.
Gosh.
Now, we're not sure. Is it Itawamba Agricultural City in Mississippi? Where is this town?
It is, I think it's Fulton, and mm-hmm. is like the, but it's Itambua County. It's the Itambua Agricultural High School. And that's where she lives, that's where Constance lives, and that's where she goes to school. And this poor girl has been really getting jerked around a lot. She initially just wanted permission to go to prom with her girlfriend and wear a tux, you know, and
like most good lesbians, they want to wear tuxes to high school proms and then get mad when guys dress up in drag.
Well, I think Constance would be cool with that.
Okay, so Constance, you're putting words in her mouth, though. We don't know. So the school, she successfully sued the school in order to bring her girlfriend and to wear a tux to the prom.
That's right. And so in order to avoid letting her go to the prom, the school completely canceled prom. And so they said, prom for no one if we have to give prom to Constance.
If we have to gay up this prom by allowing a bull dyke teenager like Constance McMillan to show up with her girlfriend and making out and dancing to, you know, music like, what is that, to Katie Lang and
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, it's like that would ruin it for
Tegan
everyone.
And Sarah.
Melissa Etheridge at a dance.
But so the students were obviously upset because their prom had been canceled, and then the parents decided to have an alternative prom and then not invite Constance.
Yeah, and it looks like the school might have had a little something to do with that too. They might have okayed it and helped coordinate it, but they're being tight-lipped about it. But they were clearly pretty aware of what was going on. But the school ended up. Because there was a judge was going to, it looked like the judge was going to order them to hold prom anyways, and so the school just announced that they were going to hold prom after all, they're going to hold prom, and then they canceled it again, and then, it had been canceled twice, and then they decided to hold it. They announced maybe 2 weeks ago that they were going to hold it at the country club. And Constance and a lot of the learning disabled kids and the kids with special needs showed up to what they thought was prom and Constance's date, of course. And they were there was Constance and seven other people. The school administrators and the teachers were the chaperones there. They weren't at the other prom, but all the other kids had been clued in and went to the other prom.
At a different country club.
So this is like a John Hughes movie come to life.
It looked like an outdoor event.
It looked like a Klan rally is what it looked like. It was out in the middle of the woods, you know, burning torches, lots of white.
To me, just this plot reminds me. I mean, this really sounds like a Simpsons episode when they trick Lisa Simpson. I don't know if you guys remember this, that Lisa had been cheating on one of her tests. Mm-hmm. And the school didn't allow her to admit that she had been cheating because it would lower the test standards. And so the school was going to be rewarded some amount of money, and they correctly anticipated that Lisa Simpson would stand up and say, "I cheated! We don't deserve this money!" And so the school had an actual fake ceremony, and the person, the comptroller who gives the checks, pretended to give the check anyways, and then they
Super Nintendo Chalmers is what Ralphie calls them.
And so
Ralph Wiggum.
So they drag her out, and then she feels satiated, and then the real ceremony takes place. But this also reminds me of a John Hughes film, because that kind of happened to Molly Ringwald, right? She had to take her special needs foreign exchange student Long Doc Long to the prom.
But they didn't hold an alternative prom, though.
So I'm wondering if the Itawamba Agricultural High School was watching too many of Pretty in Pink and, what is it, the movies?
Right. Well, wasn't something about this, though, wasn't she actually invited to this other prom? Or she said she wasn't going to go to it. Or she said she wasn't going to go to the prom. So they're trying to say as though she was invited or something.
No, she wasn't invited.
She wasn't invited.
They didn't even tell her about it. Because then she would have taken up the busload of special needs kids, the short bus. They were taking the short bus and, you know, a short bus with a low rider short bus that can and driven to the Fulton Country Club where the alternative prom took place, I guess.
Right. Well, that was the official.
That's the official.
Prom,
okay.
The country club, which is. And you know, you got to, if you're the parents of the special needs kids, you have to also be really angry that these other parents totally left your kid out. Everything about this was that nobody should feel at all like they were justified in doing anything, because everything was sleazy about this whole thing.
And just mean, mean, mean.
They are really mean. And in the days of Facebook, you can keep nothing secret. Of course, all the kids were the parents were posting pictures on Facebook from prom, and the kids were commenting and you know, laughing about Constance not being there and the captions of the pictures and then the comments of the pictures and talking about what a great time they had. And then some kids, when the media picked up the story and it started getting posted to web pages, some of the kids started to comment and say some pretty nasty things. She brought this on herself and, you know, why couldn't she just, you know, be happy with, you know, basically not going to prom, not being allowed at prom, mm-hmm. you know, why should she?
Well, I think a lot of these kids feel as though that she kind of stole their thunder and that, you know, she made the prom all about her when they, you know, for
right.
them, you know, she's dashing a lot of their dreams. But the other thing is, though, too, is like, you know, I'm totally on her side, though, but that's their point of view.
Well, but now let's actually walk through what their dreams were because they actually got to enact them.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to feastoffun.com and search, just click on the featured under politics and activism, you can see that there's photos of the prom, and one very gay looking teenager wore a turquoise tuxedo shirt with white pants and a white shirt.
A lot of white at this prom, a lot of guys in white tuxedos.
And then these two girls, there's these two girls making out. So they could have their lesbian kiss at their non-lesbian prom. Or what was up with that?
Well, you know, that's always the thing, is that fake lesbianism is always okay, but as soon as real emotions are involved, that's when it's suddenly a sin.
Because
those girls that were kissing were hot, though. Mm-hmm. They were ready for, like, Girls
Gone
Wild.
They're both beautiful blonde girls that are going to be in beer commercials someday, of course.
they're not going to be in beer commercials, those two girls.
I don't know, at least one of the two of them.
And a lot of them were commenting that there was an African-American girl at the prom, and like, does this girl even realize that 40 years ago she wouldn't have been able to even attend the prom herself?
No, this exact same thing actually happened in Birmingham 40 years ago, that there was black students in a recently desegregated school who sued to go to prom. And they did the same thing. They ended up, you know, wanting to cancel prom. They didn't. They held prom anyways. And the white kids went off and had their own prom. So, and there are several African American students there. I think that what that means is that there's a need for a history lesson in this school. That, you know, the history teachers are not doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If people aren't realizing this just happened in Birmingham, you know, a generation
ago. And Birmingham is probably the closest big city to Fulton, Alabama, I think, because Tupelo's nearby, but Tupelo's kind of small compared to Birmingham. But
yeah,
is it? Am I wrong to think that Bubba, the head or the king of the prom? He's really hot.
Is he? Let me see.
Oh my God. I mean, he makes Elian Gonzalez look like yesterday's newspaper. Look at this stud. It's like,
well,
damn,
those
cornfed
boys are usually, you know, they're king. They're town kings for a reason.
Totally, man. It's like, you know, the thing about it, in this year, a lot, for some reason, a lot of people are actually, especially gay people that I know, are going to their high school reunions. Mark, you've been invited to one. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to one. J. Seth Anderson, the Russian Mormon boy that was on our show earlier in this year, he's been invited. He's going to one, and he's bringing his boyfriend along so they can cruise the Mormon guys. Mm-hmm. And he's tweeting about it.
Well, and I also want to say, too, something else about this, too, though, is, though, you know, it's weird because this is a pocket of America that something like this is still going on. I don't think it's indicative of all of the nation and even of our time. I, you know, I have a friend who's God, what is he? He's probably 10 years older than me, maybe not quite 10. He went to my high school, and so somewhere in like the late 70s, early 80s, he was gay, and he took a drag queen to the prom, and this is a Catholic school. So, you know, it's weird how something, this is 30 years ago that he was taking a drag queen to the prom, whereas like now 30 years later, somebody can't take their lesbian girlfriend. Do we know anything about Candace's girlfriend, who she is, or anything?
I think I've read a few weeks back that she kind of wanted to lay low, that she's not real all that out where she is. So, We don't know much. We don't know her name, or her name hasn't gone out in the media or anything.
These are good-looking teenagers, though.
Teenagers are always good-looking. They have youth on their side.
Well, some of them are not so good-looking, you know, and especially if you're wearing... You got to be really good-looking to get away with a pink and white tuxedo. You look like the Pink Panther.
It's like... Yeah, it's really their fashion choices are bad. All the guys are in white tuxedos, and then it's like their colors are like pink or turquoise, mostly.
There must have been a special at President Tuxedo that week.
But the thing about it is, if you look at this fashion, it is so extreme and so out there and so bizarre that a woman wearing a tuxedo and bring your girlfriend doesn't seem that outrageous.
No.
No. Yeah, there's some crazy dresses I saw. Like this girl in this swirly dress. It's just, almost nothing of her boobs are covered. It's like when Lil' Kim was at the MTV Video Music Awards, and she just covered up her nipple with that shell. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all about these, you know, and they're all dirty dancing, and they're just getting down, and, you know, hey, good for them to have some fun, but it's like, man, why can't a gay person have the fun, too?
Well, I think people are having fun around this country right now, and they're all... Right. It's not the common experience for a lot of young people, and our young listeners write in and post comments on the site. What is your high school like for you now? Do you feel embraced by your high school, or do you feel still at odds with it? The nice thing about it is for a lot of these young Republicans is they get to grow up and go to Michael Steele's bondage stripper party. So blows my mind. Michael Steele's the Republicans Party lame attempt at race baiting, I guess, or by putting he's black. I think Michael Steele, he doesn't seem like that bad of a guy, and he seems relatively progressive for a right-wing conservative Republican. Mm-hmm. But the thing about him is he's not the best, most qualified person to be running a political organization.
Well, maybe for the Republicans he is.
Maybe so.
I mean, listen, look what he's got to work with.
You lower the bar so much that Sarah Palin can be actually taken seriously inside your party. Maybe Michael Steele would be doing it. And so he got into all this trouble because he spent $2,000taking staffers to a strip club.
Was he actually there?
He was there. Let me read the article. The Family Values Republican National Committee spent almost $2,000 at an erotic bondage theme West Hollywood nightclub where nearly
Which is hilarious that it was the Family Values.
Well, yeah, I think that's pretty clear there. It's that they're, you know, at odds with their entertainment. A red-faced party spokesman insisted that the party head, Michael Steele, already under fire for running up outlandish expenses, was not among the partygoers. So he wasn't there, but his hands are involved in it. And what's interesting now that's coming up is they've done a study on whether you know or not about the scandal, and most Republican, especially Republican donors, are not familiar with this. It's only the progressive people.
Well, because where are they going to hear about it? Now, I was watching Rachel Maddow, and she said that the Republicans, you know, conservative media were the ones that actually broke the story, but it really just didn't get much traction. But now they've picked it up, and so they're talking about it. But listen, if you are a polarized Republican, you're not even going to watch the other media outlets. You're not watching the watchdogs for your party. You're only interested in what people in your party are saying.
And that's a recipe for basically, you know, silencing your voice. Yeah. Whatever your voice may be, it's like if you're not watching the watchdogs of your political party.
And I think that's why it's important to have people, you know, and in their perspective, to have people like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Sarah Palin, because they are so polarizing. So those people, I mean, Sarah Palin, you know, and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, they can just tell outright lies to people, and they accept it. You know, they accept it and they don't question it.
Now, I don't understand why the Sarah Palins and Rush Limbaughs and these, you know, right-wing nut jobs that are talk show hosts or pundits or news people, why aren't they jumping on this and trying to get brownie points out of it? Why are they complicit in the silence? Phil, any ideas?
I think they have some of their own dirty laundry, though, and we all know that Sarah Palin has lots of dirty laundry. It's already been mostly aired, so it's kind of hard for her to to comment on things, especially within her own party, especially when she really does seem to have aspirations running for something national again. You know, she's going to need the full support of her party. And so to toe the line, you know, she can kiss butt over on the Tea Partier side, but she, you know, ultimately, she's going to need the RNC money to run. And if she wants to run for something national, she can't have enemies in the RNC. She really needs to have friends in the RNC and friends in the big fundraising pool. And that's where Michael Steele is important to the Republican Party. He's gaffe prone, but the reason he was raised to the position that he was raised to was not just because he's black, but I do think that he's a great fundraiser for the party and a good strategist. Although I haven't seen much of his strategy, sort of.
Hey, if you're managing to take your high donors to a $2,000 good time at a West Hollywood strip club, which Mark and I would love to spend $2,000 of anyone's money
on anything. Donor.
At Mickey's.
But and the other thing too,
I could use $2,000 at Mickey's pretty well.
And this and got away with there it for go. A while. This happened several months ago, didn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But don't forget though that even though Michael Steele is gaffe prone, and this is another, you know, this is also gonna be another mark on his record, he's successfully led this party nationally as the minority party in Congress to be the most powerful and successful minority party in history. And Democrats had a supermajority against the Republicans. His party has been able to control the congressional agenda since 2008. So, you know, he may not be good at PR, but he's doing one hell of a job of keeping his party together and in line.
Is that his doing, or just the Democrats
the
suck? I'm sorry, what?
I think the Tea Party is showing the cracks of, within the Republican Party, but at the same time, if I was Republican, which I'm far from Republican, I would say that Michael Steele has done one hell of a job since he came to the helm. And they had no power. They had been just trounced in the 2008 election. They've really done pretty well for themselves. So we'll see.
I'm just jealous. I wasn't invited to the party.
This coming out now is not going to help them in 2010 in election.
Oh, this won't help them? It's too
soon?
I
don't think so. Do you?
No. It'll just get brushed under the carpet.
Well, I don't understand how somebody can a senator who's text messaging with his hot interns about how cute they are loses his job, but this guy who pays uses the Republicans own party's money to pay for hookers and strippers at a nightclub with cocktails and stuff like that. I mean, that to me just blows my mind.
Well, it's just like with the prom, right? When it comes to family values, even, you know, you have like Mark Sanford in South Carolina, you know, how is he still governor after all that garbage his affair?
That's because his lieutenant governor is supposedly gay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And no matter what, any amount of heterosexual infidelity and just dirtiness pales in comparison to just being gay.
Yeah.
You know?
You suck one dick at a truck stop and it's like your political career is over, but cheat on your wife
or spend $2,000. I'm really, really want to change my political parties to Republican.
Do it
just so I can get. I would love to take some donors to Mickey's at West Hollywood and spend $2,000.
But it's gay. They won't do that. It has to be straight.
So maybe here's the thing about it is like Chris Rock. You know, he says he always says if it's white, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
If it's straight, it's gonna be great. You know, there's such a bias against the gay experience that we as gay people just are sometimes forget about. You can get away with a lot of shit as long as it's with a hot bitch. The minute it's with a hot guy, you're out of there.
And that's all it takes. That's all it is. That's honestly, when it comes down to it, that's the root of it all there. So that's why Michael Steele keeps his job. But people did lose their jobs because of it. People who were there at the party are no longer working for the RNC. So, I mean, people did lose their jobs.
Will they
when
come
Mark
back,
Foley
though?
Got fired, he was the one actually doing the text messaging and kind of going around the rules and doing some shady stuff. And the same thing, the people who were at the party doing the shady stuff, their jobs are gone. But, you know, nonetheless, it's something to be concerned about that, you know, it's still hetero, you know, it's still very hetero-focused.
I'm sure these people will come up in some other area, you know. Once you're in these political affiliations, it's hard to just crawl away and die. They'll get hired by a senator, hired by a congressman, they'll work on some other platform, some party somewhere.
Let's talk about the phony brochures being sent to Super Nintendo Charmers. 14,000 of them. facts about youth. That says, Fax is a non-political, non-religious channel presenting the most current facts on the subject. Fax is committed to advancing a school environment where all facts are about health and safety and facts and facts and facts.
What are you talking about, even?
So this is a group that is trying to say that being gay, embracing gay teenagers in high schools, affirms unhealthy lifestyles as normal behavior. And then they're like, the facts about the gay community.
Oh, and they're pretending to be a medical organization.
So this is some of their facts. Some gay men sexualize human waste, including the medically dangerous practice of coprophilia, which means sexual contact with highly infectious fecal waste.
It's coprophilia, isn't it?
Coprophilia. Oh, okay. So it's sex with cops?
No, it's sex with... Shit.
The thing is, that might be true, but there are many straight men and straight women who also have these same fetishes. There's fetishists in every community, and it's not as if the gay community is disproportionate. They have a point there that some gay men do sexualize human waste, but so do some straight men and some straight women and some lesbians.
And I would guarantee you that probably 99.9% of all that shit porn is straight.
Yeah. You know?
Well, a lot of these teenagers who are using those, promise rings, mm-hmm. so they don't have the vaginal right. penis sex, they're doing it up the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Without condoms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and listen, if you talk to most straight chicks, straight adult women, like, do you have anal sex or not? A lot of them do.
They love it.
They love
it.
There are more straight women in this world that like anal sex than there are gay men who want anal sex. There are more of them in numbers.
In numbers.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
In numbers, yeah.
There are more. You can don't ask me to put a footnote about this, but do the research.
Well, because you figure if 10% of the population is gay, and then half of that is bottoms, and so that's 5% of the population are bottoms, but how many? So half the population of the world is women, so that's 50%. Even if 10% of those women wanted to have anal sex, that would equal the same amount. What are some of the other crazy lies? Are there more that they're trying
to
say?
There's a lot more, but it's just not worth talking about it. So if you're working in a high school, if you get a brochure, let them know that the facts about some.
The facts.
You know, they're always trying to pass lies as facts.
I know. Just like, Peter LaBarbera is like the truth about homosexuality. You know, now it's, thank God, it's been labeled a hate group.
I want to label it a terrorist group.
Yeah.
It should
be. It's terrorizing my sex life.
Well, the idea is to create fear and panic mm-hmm. yeah. in communities that could lead to violent acts. Mm-hmm. And Peter LaBarbera's group and groups similar like that actually increase violent acts against people mm. in communities. So that, to me, is the definition of a terrorist group.
Just look at what happened in Oklahoma recently. Oklahoma state lawmakers were trying to pass a law to try to prevent the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill from taking effect in Oklahoma. So Oklahoma police wouldn't have to cooperate with federal authorities on hate crimes. And they were saying, oh, this isn't anti-gay. We just want to, you know, we just have our things, you know, we want states' rights. And look what happened. There was all this posturing and all this talk about it in the media pumped up these stupid people. And there was a bunch of gay bashings that increased around the news coverage of this new Oklahoma state law. Luckily, they killed it. in the upper house, I think they killed the law.
I know that they passed something, but they passed it by mistake. It was like the wrong portion of the law. It was against like religion and race. But did they actually kill the new bill about aborting the Matthew Shepard Act?
Yep, they did. They killed it. It might have been in reconciliation. I don't have the article in front of me, but somebody got a hold of it in one of the other houses and took it on as co-sponsor just so that he could kill it.
Mm-hmm. So let's celebrate the town of Colorado, Dillon, Colorado, that just elected their gay mayor, Ron Holland.
Woo! Congratulations, yeah. Ron.
Don't, as RuPaul says, don't fuck it up.
Does he have a first lady?
I want to be his first lady.
Is he attractive? No, I don't think he is.
It's like,
he's attractive to someone.
How fuckable is he? Can I go to a... I want to go... Oh, he's a daddy. He's kind of cute. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, maybe not. Okay.
Good luck to you anyway.
Good luck to you. It's like,
is he hotter than Stu Rasmussen?
Who's Stu?
Stu's the transsexual.
the Portland's mayor,
not
right?
Not Portland,
no. See how big the town is?
No, how big is it?
800 people live in this town.
Well, there you go.
That's like getting your next door neighbor to be like, yeah, you could do it this year. Did he get any money from the Lambda, the Victory Fund?
Victory Fund.
Yeah, that gives money to people?
He was endorsed by the Victory Fund, which means he went through Victory Fund training, and he probably got a scholarship to do that for free. Victory Fund, you know, doles out money in different amounts. So this, I don't know if they would have given him any money for this sort of thing.
I want a scandal to break out that he took $2,000 of the Lambda Victory Fund and used it on male strippers at Mickey's in West Hollywood.
Oh, then we can have our own scandal.
And be like, I'm so outraged. Anyways,
we have enough gay mayor scandals in our community with Sam Adams over in Portland. We don't need another adulterous gay mayor in America.
But he's so cute, Sam Adams. He can stay in office forever.
I know. He's a governor or mayor. What is exactly does he do?
He just said he was the mayor.
The mayor. He's the mayor of my heart.
I don't know about my heart, but he is adorable.
My heart on. Martina Navratilova has breast cancer.
Oh, poor Martina. Yeah. I didn't even know she had breasts.
Oh, well, that is so mean. Are you trying to be funny?
Well, I mean, she's mannish.
Yeah, well, she's butch.
She's butch.
She's a stone cold butch, as the lesbians like to say.
She's tough. She's tough. And I think she'll come out all right. And her prognosis is really good. But yeah, today, just before we started recording, at least, they announced that Martina has breast cancer. She called it her personal 9/11, and she said, "And she
because her twin towers are falling."
People, what's that?
Because her twin towers are falling.
Yeah, well, for her, it's pretty devastating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But in People magazine, she said, it knocked me on my ass, really. I feel so in control of my life and my body, and then this comes, and it's completely out of my hands.
You got to do it. When you really quote Martina, quote. Phil, you have to use Arnold Schwarzenegger accent. Because she's a Czechoslovakian, but, you know, it works.
It's the same thing.
So listen to this. It's like, I went 4 years between mammograms. I let it slide. Everyone gets busy. I don't make excuses. I stay in shape, eat right, lift weights. And it happened to me another year, and I could have been in big trouble. Come with me if you want to avoid breast cancer.
Well, the thing is, yeah, she went 4 years, so it's something you shouldn't do, especially when you're somebody of her age. I think it's past 40. They're like, you have to have it done every year. And my sister had, you know, is a breast cancer survivor, and you know, it was tough. But it was, you know, she caught it early, and it was no problem. And I have a foster sister who, you know, she died of breast cancer. So you know, it's not. I don't mean to make light of it or anything like that, but it's, you know,
they say that a lot of women though actually get their breast cancer detected by their girlfriends or boyfriends. When they're grabbing their boobs.
Really?
So, yeah, they're the first ones to find out. And actually, what is it? If your sexual partner is right-handed, and you develop breast cancer on the breast that corresponds to the hand that's grabbing it, mm-hmm. you're more likely to survive because your partner is the first one that's going to detect it.
Wow.
They'd is be it like, the same with testes?
I'd not known that.
Well, I don't think it was testicles because you grab both testicles with one hand at the same time. But breasts are like, you know, left and right things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so the moral of the story, if you're not going to get mammograms, have a lot of sex because sex will protect you. Well, at least, you know, grab your boobs when mm-hmm. you're having sex.
So you can use that next time.
I think we should make sure the listeners know that you're not a medical professional.
You're not? You told me you were a doctor, Fausto.
I'm Dr. Fausto, and you can take this to the bank. Listen, we give you a lot better... Actually, you know, I don't want to make myself legally liable for anything, but mm-hmm. you can take a lot of the information that you get on this show. It's a lot more responsible than half of the stuff that your doctor gives you.
I don't know. Well, we read a lot of stuff about health and wellness.
So I mean, we were the ones who broke the story on the large marge, the margarine lobby that's spending millions of dollars to lobby to advertise to you gay men to eat you shit that kills turkeys. Mm-hmm. Margarine is poisonous, okay? Yep. And if they want to sue me, they probably could successfully sue me because, you know, I have no money and they would just, like, silence me. They would hand my ass to me, Large Marge would. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I think we're under their radar, mm-hmm. so they don't get
but
to see
stay
us.
Stay away from that.
But stay away from the large... There's
Do
been
not
studies.
Don't even look at the tub.
Yeah, don't turn that tub around. Don't even pick it up. Just but because Megan Mullally is trying to shill this shit does not mean that you should be consuming it.
But there was a new study out, too, that said that, for years people have been saying eat 5 fruits and vegetables every day, to ward off cancer. And now there's been a new study that says that might not be true.
Uh-oh. So what are you supposed to do then?
I don't know.
Well, the study said, this is the study, mm-hmm. they said it's not as effective as we thought it was going to be. At the end of the day, the best thing to avoiding cancer is good health generally. That mm-hmm. means not smoking, keeping your health, your weight healthy, reducing your alcohol or getting rid of your alcohol consumption, eating a balanced diet, and of course, most importantly, as Scott Herman likes to say, stay active. Mm-hmm. Get your ass to the gym. Not going to the gym, not working out is like not brushing your teeth. If you don't work out, you're going to get body cavities. Mm. If you don't brush your teeth, you get cavities. So that's really the thing about it. And, you know, if you're eating a balanced diet, it's going to have fruits and vegetables in it. Mm-hmm. So, but,
And eating fruits and vegetables do help you keep the weight off.
And it does avoid other diseases. That's the thing they're saying. This is just about cancer. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about other types of diseases. Mm-hmm. And if you're eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, it might actually help to keep your body within a healthy weight,
right. Which
then does help reduce cancer.
And you'll have wonderful bowel movements.
And that's really what it's all about.
Right.
Did you eat your fruits and vegetables today, Phil?
I have fruit next to me right now.
Mm.
What kind of fruit are you eating?
Let's see. I got pineapple, grape, melon, watermelon.
Wow.
Really kind of boring, actually, now that I look at it.
That's exciting.
Pineapple's exciting.
I've got this question, and I can't find the answer to this. And maybe our listeners or somebody out there knows about this. We love to eat these tangerine oranges. They're called clementines. Mm-hmm. And when I peel them, I look at the inside of the peel, and it's this radioactive, bright orange.
See, those weren't clementines what you bought. Those were a different kind of mandarin. I looked at the package.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. So
what was the
mandarin? I'll find out. Hold on.
But the thing
like
about
Althea
it was...
or something.
But even some clementines, I look at the inside of the peel, and usually they're white. These were like radioactive orange. And I'm wondering, are they dyeing fruit to make the color more palatable? And we don't know about it because they don't have to report it or list it under the ingredients. Because, for example, fruit gets covered in wax in order to improve its shelf life. But some people actually argue that the wax can have negative health benefits. Or what would it be the opposite of a benefit, Phil?
Not to mention those waxy apples hurt my teeth.
Well, Mark's not looking for the package. He went to take a bathroom break. So you know. So let's move on down the list here, Phil. Let's talk about The social, I guess the FCC just lost a big court battle for net neutrality. And
So
this is what was said here. The U.S. Federal Appeals Court has ruled that the FCC doesn't have the authority to force broadband providers to treat all internet traffic equally, and that blocking or slowing certain services like BitTorrent, which some people may be familiar with the fact that they are... that they are, you know, used by illegally to share files, but it's also used by open source developers, like the people who develop WordPress, for example, to share files in order to develop a lot of the software and a lot of the platforms that the internet and our computers rely on. So this anti-competitive, you know, so basically the U.S. Federal Appeals Court said it's okay to limit internet traffic. And the problem, the consequence of this, is that it could lead to a an internet in the United States that's much like China, where content and competition is limited by these internet service companies. And it also limits the future, our ability to develop software via open source.
Well, the other thing, too, with this is that the court did support Comcast in this case, but they do support also net neutrality. They're just saying in this case, the FCC does not have the authority to limit that. So legislature or whoever gives them the authority has to give them the authority to do that. At this point in time, they don't have it. So now it has to be kicked over to whoever is in charge of them.
But one thing, like, we're starting to see weird things happening with the internet. Like, we were in Austin, Texas, and we were using my mother's internet service, and we have to upload 40 megabyte files every day to these podcasts, to our own servers. This is completely legal. We paid for these services. And what they're doing is that they slow down the speed of your internet when they start seeing that there's a large file. And at the end of the upload process... This is the weirdest thing. It sent a message saying that the upload process had not completed and to start it again. So it had to upload the same file twice. And then the end of the second cycle, it kicked it off saying that the file upload was unsuccessful, even though it actually had been uploaded.
Mm-hmm. So that's crazy.
There's some really weird, like, voodoo being done by these internet companies. And I think they're just trying to test to see what they can get away with.
And like our internet cuts off every day. Like my last email is always at 5:38 a.m. So somewhere around like 6 a.m. they just shut it off. Every day I have to start it.
And we called AT&T and we said to them, it's like, what's going on? And they're like, we don't know what's going on. No, you know, like they're like pretending like it doesn't even happen. Mm-hmm. And so we complained about it and we heard no response. So this is like some weird things that are being done by these companies to test the waters, to unleash some really sinister technology. So I don't want to be a paranoid person. But so, okay, so here I have some Mandarins here. They're a Fuhrer, A4er Mandarins. And I'm opening them and I peel on the inside and the peel is like this bizarre orange color.
Because it usually is white.
Yeah, usually the inside of a Mandarin skin is white, and this stuff is like just the same color as the outside. And I'm going, are they dyeing these somehow?
They might be. I think, don't they dye? Wow. They dye them, don't they? Anyway, oranges.
I don't know that. So if someone knows the answer to that, please go to our website, feastoffun.com, and weigh in.
Well, if they dyed it, you would think also, too, I mean, you would think the green part, this little thing here, would get dyed orange as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is genetic engineering, or maybe this is the way the fruit naturally occurs. I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes you look at red cabbage and you go, what a miracle red cabbage is. That it's so vibrant in color, and yet that color naturally occurs. Let's talk about the two new social websites, getunvarnished.com and Fabulous. So, Mark, what's up with...
I've never heard of Get I've never heard of Get Unvarnished.
Okay. You soon will.
Mm-hmm. It goes by Unvarnished, so I think, but the URL is Get Unvarnished.
So it's kind of retarded already.
Unvarnished, it's like Yelp for people's workplace reputation. So it's a, you know, it's a controversial people rating website that's getting very popular. But what you can do is you, so if I, let's say if I work with you, Phil, I could write a review about you at work, and but it's anonymous, but it's written. So what happens, I would have to sign in with my like Facebook account so that my account's verified, but when I go to post, that's not revealed. And so right. there, people are like, what's going to happen? So for future, so it's like LinkedIn, but you don't get to choose who talks about you. And so I think you can put people on there whether you know, whether they agree to it or not. So if I'm a prospective employer, I might look at something like that and be like, oh, they say this guy's a real jerk. Maybe I shouldn't hire him. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, this is perfect and it's wonderful because those idiots out there should get what's coming to them. But then again, too, employers should also maybe take this with a grain of salt and be like, well, these, you know, this is a site where people will have an axe to grind.
But I think right, it's exactly. great because if you have that, if you're in an office with somebody who's a real jerk, you know,
let them have it.
And I've worked in places where there was that one employee that everybody hated. Mm-hmm. And we all would have loved to have gone to, you know, getunvarnished.com and actually been able to rag on them.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be great, you know. Now, but see, to me, the problem with that is that it can escalate into hate crimes. Because any site that where you're actually like asking for the public to rate and bury and negate somebody's very existence can escalate into actual physical violence in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Especially if this is someone's livelihood and they're looking for a new job or let's say your current employer gets a hold of it and you just, like you said, had an axe to grind and you just didn't like this person from the get-go, you post to it. If they find out, that could get really ugly, you know? So it might not be something I'd want to sign on to and participate with. Then again, I have no idea what people are saying about me now.
Well, I noticed that on the opposite end of the spectrum, fabulous.com, a site for the most fabulous gay men in the world, spelled F-A-B-U-L-I-S, you're not actually using your full name.
You're not?
No, he uses just Phil.
Well, Phil's what he used on Facebook.
I'm just Phil on Facebook.
Now, why are you hiding your last name? Obviously, it's you.
I'm not actually hiding. What happened was, and this has nothing to do with fabulous.com, I was an early adopter of Facebook back when it was just screen names. And so you could have any old screen name.
Oh.
And Facebook didn't have a policy of using your real name. So I just picked Phil just because it was brand new, and there wasn't much to it, and I'm just like, they're like, what's your name? And I'm like, well, Phil. That's all I typed in the box, and I got grandfathered in. And at some point, I tried to change it to Phil Reese, and there's, you know, my account's on some server somewhere that it can't, that sort of information can't be changed very easily.
But that's wonderful, though. So what sort of... That's wonderful on Facebook, though, so people can look at you and like, what's your Facebook? Just look for Phil, and there I am.
I know. Madonna even has a last name on Facebook because she joined after me, but I have one name.
Hold on, Madonna's on Facebook?
The flip side is I wanted to remove the year I was born, and it won't let me do that either. So it won't let me add a last name so I can have a cool Facebook profile, but it also won't let me change my birthday.
Did you get the unique URL, facebook.com/Phil?
Yeah, it's, well, you have to have at least 5 characters, so it's Phil1.
Oh.
It's /Phil1.
You should have done Phil Me On.
Meanwhile, Madonna is on Facebook, at facebook.com/Madonna, and no need to promote her. She has 1.3 million fans.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, interesting enough, on the internet, just like in the real world, famous people are still popular. Now, on Fabulous...
But you're pretty popular on Fabulous.com.
I sure am, honey. And this is all thanks to you, the listeners. You voted for me and for Mark. I'm number 2 most famous podcaster, most fabulous podcaster, at 8,665 votes. And Mark is number 4 at 3,807. Now, what's interesting...
And overall,
I think if you go to the front page, I'm number 18 wow. of the world's most fabulous gay men.
Well, you're number one in my book.
Aww. What about you, Phil? Number one.
Number.
Now, this is what I really like about it.
You're
is
both number one. You're
you
both
can create. You can create a category, whatever category you want, and you can put yourself as the king of that.
Wow.
So let's say like sassy diva. Like, I actually submitted Kathy Griffin, both her real account and her fake account on Facebook, and people are actually voting the fake account, not the real one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they think that fake Kathy Griffin is the real Kathy Griffin, but it's the one with her photo with Bill Maher is the real Kathy Griffin.
I could change my tag to be like Phil Reese, and I could be the number one Phil Reese.
You could. Now, they call him Liss, and so this is a student is number the most popular list with 540 people claiming themselves as students, and the number world's most popular student is Gal Lipaz Oppenheimer. We have no idea what he does. Now, on the top of fabulous, this is what I really like too, is that I'm actually more popular than Dustin Lance Black.
Wow.
And so I could change my category to be filmmaker or screenwriter, and I could be more popular as a screenwriter than Dustin Lance Black. Because I feel our forced feminization video deserves an Oscar for best film. Over
I'm
milk.
But I'm in the Academy.
I'm still confused. What the hell is the point of Fabulous?
So what Fabulous is, and I actually spoke on the phone yesterday to the delightful Bradford Shellhammer, who used to be the first editor of Queerty, who's a social media type. He's their sort of like their social. He calls himself the Julie McCoy of Fabulous.
Okay, so he does lots of cocaine. Good to know, Brad.
Good to know, Bradford. So he said that what they're trying to do is create a social network, because like us, we feel that social networks like Yelp and YouTube and Foursquare are great for the general population, but I think minority voices need their own social networks in order to find each other and find interesting things to do. And this is where YouTube and Foursquare and even Twitter fail miserably at allowing minority voices to be heard. That's why we have the feastoffun.com/fresh section, so you can submit your own blog entries and let those float to the top. The things that get submitted that get the most comments or traffic get featured automatically on the front of the site. Now, what they're trying to do with Fabulous, according to him, he said, Bradford said that they're trying to make it into a fusion of Yelp and Foursquare to allow gay men, the primary mission is to allow gay men to find interesting things to do in their cities with other interesting gay men. So for example, if you're a rugby player and you want to find other rugby players and join a rugby team in your city, you can use Fabulous to do that. Conversely, if you're a person who likes to go listen to interesting DJs at night, then you can find other interesting DJs in your city, in your area, and go there. And so the idea is not to necessarily make it into a popularity contest as much as it a way to make influential tastemakers. And so you could argue that the people who are on top of their games are actually people who are good at determining and identifying things that gay men find popular or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's... Let me just finish really fast here. The end of the month, they're actually going to be launching it, and we're actually going to get Bradford on the show, and he's going to walk us and you, the listener, through the new site Fabulous, and how to hack it to be the top of whatever it is you want to be the top of. Or if you're a bottom, then how to be the bottom of something.
I'm very impressed by Fabulous's. Would that be how you do the possessive?
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous's focus on positivity. We don't have that a lot sometimes in our community. We have, I think it's a great place to go because you're not going to get people saying nasty stuff or digging on people or dissing anyone. It's a shade-free environment, and I like the positivity of Fabulous. I'm really digging it.
Well, it's like, you know, on Facebook, how people are always like those. I always get at least once a week somebody trying to get me to join some, like, we want a dislike button on Facebook. And I'm just like, why? Why? Just if you don't like it, ignore it. Quit obsessing about things you don't like. You're like, you know, these Christian evangelicals obsessing about gay sex.
Well, and really, the best, if you hate something on the internet, the best way to hurt it is to ignore it.
Mm.
If you're actually creating a Facebook group, or if you're talking about your podcast on your blog on how much you hate Britney Spears, you're actually promoting Britney Spears, you know.
Exactly.
And so to all those people that take time out of their busy day to write negative reviews about us on iTunes, we salute you.
Thank you
from the bottom of our hearts. And we want to thank our advertisers, because without their financial support, we could not do this show. Go to Feast of Fun. Hold on a second. There's a ambulance. That's the gay ambulance, baby. Without your support, we could not do the show. Please go to 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the last time you found a quick hookup on a popular dating website? It just doesn't happen. If you're looking for a fast and easy way to meet hot local guys, call 1-888-MEGAMATES. Listen to hard cruising ads and chat live. If guys are on 888-MEGAMATES, they are serious about connecting now. Hook up fast with hot local men. Call 1-888-MEGAMATES. Megamates.
And you can do the hookup, Phil.
The hookup. I'm sure there's some guys down there in Champaign, Urbana looking for some action.
Oh, really? You think so? Mm-hmm.
I think so. Absolutely. You know, ironically, the town of Champaign does not have any Champaign breweries, does it?
You don't brew champagne.
Or what is it, distilleries? Or what? How do you call the making of champagne?
It's like a vineyard.
They don't have any vineyards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do they call champagne?
We have a vineyard around there, but it's champagne. It's named after I think it's Champagne, New York or something.
Champlain is New York.
Out in the Midwest is either named after something Native American, something Swedish, or something from back east, and that's really all you get. So I think it's named after something, a town back east called Champaign, and there's a town called Urbana next to it as well. There's one in Ohio, there's one in New York, where there's a Champaign, there's an Urbana in Champaign County. So
now, but there was rumors, Phil, there was rumors that it was actually a dry county for a while.
Wow.
So this is the irony, it's like a place Whiskey, Alabama, and be like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't serve any whiskey.
I heard a lot of people, because you guys are on the Mississippi, aren't you?
Oh, no, we're kind of a ways out from the Mississippi.
Oh, okay, because I heard a lot of Southerners went up there because they were on the riverboats, and then they saw the sign for, like, champagne, and they thought, CH, must be Chicago, let's get off here. So I have a freaky news article. There's a guy in Florida, and he has a Greek place, and so he buys octopus because he serves it up, and so he got an octopus with 9 tentacles. So what do you call it then if it's not an octopus? Is it like a ninopus or a novopus?
Nine-sided
not
shape.
A nonopus?
There's polypus. Is
a polypus?
Yeah. Well, because a polygon...
with many sides.
Many-sided.
But it's a nonagon, has 9 sides. A nonopus?
Well, what is a nine-sided figure would be called? Hold on a second here. We're going to knowledge.
And so it's a... this guy says he's cooked these things for over 40 years, and this is the first time he's ever seen one with an extra leg.
So it's a nonagus.
Nonagus?
Yes. An octopus would be 8. A non... a pus. Non-a-pus.
Non-pus.
Non-a-pus. Is the correct term. A non-a-pus.
Well, he's being nonplussed about his non-a-pus. And so medical experts at Anderson say the extra leg on the octopus is likely due to a genetic mutation. So it's like having an extra finger.
It's the scientists at Anderson.
They told me that Aniston blocks pain after a night of drinking and throwing cocktail glasses at your ex-husband because you're mad at him.
Well, hey, Phil, did you get a chance to see CNN? Glad's mad at CNN because they had ex-gay activist Richard Cohen on, who's, you know, he talks a bunch of hooey balooey, and he said, you know, I don't know, he kind of walks both sides of the fence. He says gays can be cured, but, like, don't worry about it if you don't want to be cured. I don't, it's kind of weird. And so, but they're, you know, CNN's propping him up as like some kind of expert, and it's just like, it's all hooey. So I don't
I'd like to see him and Anderson. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No. The problem is he's been stripped of his license. He's been kicked out of the psychologist community.
Oh, he has?
So CNN, putting him up there as an expert is like, if they put up that speaking of The Simpsons, that doctor that does the discount surgery and The Simpsons.
Everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hello, everybody.
Exactly.
I don't, you know, to me about it is like, I want to see CNN put that guy with Anderson Cooper. You know my boo Cooper, he keeps his hands far away from that guy.
Yeah.
You know, Anderson, I'd like to explore some of these curing techniques, especially the ones that involve the testicles. You know, because it's like,
oh my goodness.
You know what some of these curing techniques involve, right? They show you porn.
I've heard some crazy shit, but yeah.
That's what Rick Stokes, he was on our show, longtime gay rights activist, ran against Harvey Milk. He was in our hotel room with his very sexy personal assistant from Russia. And he was telling us about how all they would do is that they would connect electrodes to your balls, and then they would show you hot gay porn, and if you got turned on by that, they'd zap you.
Well, and he's not the only person that's... I mean, we've had at least two others that I can think of that have actually gone through that kind of similar treatments because of that. So it's not that uncommon.
What they need to do is to show them a picture of the Chinese horned lady.
Ooh.
What is up with you, Grandma? So her name is Zhang Rifeng. Her last name ends with Fang. She first noticed the horn on the left side of her forehead back a year ago, and it's now grown to over 6 centimeters long. And in British measurements, that's 2.5 inches, right?
Mm.
She says the doctors have now confirmed earlier suspicions that she's now developing a similar growth on the right side of her forehead.
So she's going to be double horned.
She's the devil lady from China. She says she's turning down the offers to have them removed because she's never had so many well-wishers and visitors visit her home in Linlu, eastern China. She loves the company, and she welcomes anybody, and she'll talk to anybody about her horns. She's a horny old lady.
Oh, my goodness.
All the good news items come from China. There's a new controversial health therapy that involves wrapping patients in oil-soaked blankets and lighting them on fire.
Why?
Because it brings warmth.
Why would you want to be on fire, though? That doesn't make sense. You'd get burned.
This is what one of the proponents of the therapy, Ling Changling, age 53, she said, it produces a type of heat that goes right inside you and leaves you completely relaxed.
I'm sure it goes right inside you after it burns your skin and melts your fat.
I don't know. You know, to me, I would crap in my pants if that happened.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'd like it at all. Yeah. I'd be scared. Absolutely frightened.
Phil, it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, guys, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And so what you're going to be, how often are you blogging on the site?
Tuesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Central Time, you should be able to see my posts go live. They might go live a little bit before that, depending on when I get them done.
Mm-hmm.
But Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m., around 9 a.m., look for my post.
And you're
beastfun.com.
Mm-hmm. And you're Phil on Facebook. And you have your own blog,
AmeriQueer. Yes, I blog at AmeriQueer. I've also been a contributor to Balearico for a year. I have podcasted with Ace London at the London Calling podcast, and I'm a columnist for the only downstate gay paper here called Out and About Illinois.
Oh.
What are you writing about in your column this week? Because sometimes columnists can be very, like, I'm interested in the flowers in my vase.
Well, I'm actually the political columnist for Out and About.
Yeah.
But I also write for the blog associated with the University of Illinois newspaper, the Daily Illini, and the blogs are at the217.com. And there I'm one of the few gay voices, but it's for a straight audience,
mm-hmm.
Whereas my column for Out and About is for a gay audience, mm-hmm. so I don't talk about politics at the Daily Illini's website, whereas that's all I talk about in Out and About, mm-hmm. and on Feast Fun.
Yeah, it's weird when you're gay and writing for a straight audience, because you're like, will they understand fisting?
Well, it's my job to teach them.
That's exactly right.
Fisting is when you make a fist with your hand and you bump fists with another person, like President Obama did with his wife.
That's a fist
Michelle.
Bump.
Exactly.
Not fisting. Exactly.
But a fist bump is the name of the noun. The verb is fisting, right? Wow. Isn't it?
I think it's my fist goodness. Bumping.
That's why you go to President. Yeah. Next time you see President Obama, say, "Hey, President Obama, fist me, fist me."
I bet you he loves to get fisted.
He loves fisting. He does it all the time with his wife, Michelle. Phil, we're gonna leave you here with a little music by the Let's Do It Disco Ooh. Nights by Greg Sarnicki, and it's available on our website, feastoffun.com. It's completely innocuous and ridiculous, like us.
And join us over at feastoffun.com. If you find something fabulous on the internet, post it in our fresh section. We'd love to see it.
And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/feastoffun. Ask questions, join in on the conversation. We love to hear from you. Comments are our currency. We can't do the show without your activity on the site. So first and foremost, comment on the show, comment on our blogs. Phil, thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
What about Gertrude? She's having a bunion removed. Too bad, cause it's gonna be one of those nights. A disco night. A disco night. A disco night. What we gonna do?
We gonna party up.
Say what we gonna do.
We gonna party up.
What we gonna do?
I already told you.
Say what we gonna do.
You hard of hearing?
How we gonna party?
Cocaine.
Say how we gonna party?
Cocaine.
Say how we gonna party?
What are you deaf?
Say how we gonna party?
Go see a doctor.
Who's got the stuff?
We'll bring it on.
Who's got the stuff?
Bring it on.
Say, who's got the stuff?
Don't be a cheapskate.
Who's got the stuff?
Bust it out.
You got the stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Hand it over.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Woo! Here we go. Let's do it.
Gonna party till the break of dawn.
Let's do it.
Gonna party all night long.
Where'd you get this stuff?
Tastes like chlorine.
All that stuff I used to clean my sink.
Comet.
Yeah, Comet. Say, how come you know how Comet tastes?
Long story.
Well, I think it's baby powder.
Could be.
I ain't feeling a thing. Oh, wait. Where's the bathroom? I think they put laxative in this.
Could be.
I hope I make it in time.
Man, I don't know what he's talking about. This stuff is fine. Uh-oh. Get out of that bathroom. I need to get in there right now.
Let's do it.
Gonna party till the break of dawn.
Let's do it.
Gonna party all night long.
Toot toot, 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 toot toot.
Let's do it.
Gonna party till the break of dawn.
Let's do it.
Gonna party all night long.
And then in fifth grade, my dog Choo Choo passed away, man. I think that affected me more than I let on.
Uh-huh.
He was the best, that dog. And he meant so much to me. And when he died, It was like my childhood died.
Oh.
I know that sounds deep, but it's how I feel.
Uh-huh.
Man, can I bum another cigarette?
Mm, sure, man.
Thanks. I mean, I don't even smoke. And then in sixth grade, everyone in school started calling me Little Body Big Head because my head was so damn big.
Oh.
Man, I had a sad childhood. Hey, I'm sorry for laying all this heavy shiz on you, but for some reason, I feel like I can talk all night long.
You don't say.
Let's do it.
Gonna party till the break of dawn.
Let's do it.
Gonna party all night long.
Toot toot, toot toot.
Man, is it really 7 a.m.? Where did this night go?
Toot toot, 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 toot toot.
Yeah, just give me some of that stuff.